that time. By 9 o'clock, I was ready to go back to bed. I just had nothing left in the tank. I found out what weakness was like, and it was not fun.
Your guard is down. That's why you have the armor of the believer. But do you know how to use it? Today, special guest Sheila Walsh speaks with Dr. David Jeremiah about his new book and teaching series, Overcomer, created to help you utilize each piece of armor so you can live victoriously. To introduce this special program, here's David.
Well, thank you for joining us today. This is indeed a very special broadcast from Turning Point. Today, my friend Sheila Walsh and I are going to talk about a brand new book that comes out in just a few days. The book is called Overcomer, and many of you have been participating with us in the presale for this book throughout the month of September, and now for a couple of days left before the 2nd of October. This book, I believe, is life-changing and can be of great help to you no matter who you are, what your situation may be. If you're kind of down under the circumstances, this is an opportunity for you to put all that behind you and find out what it means to overcome the situations you face. We'll talk about that in just a moment, and the interview will be far more helpful than my just talking about it with you right now. During this month, we have been making available to you, as our resource, a calendar we've called Wonderfully Made. It is a 14-month calendar that includes November and December, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Turning Point. This is the last day for you to receive this calendar. This is the last day for this resource. So if you haven't already ordered this calendar, you can do it right now by sending a gift of any size to Turning Point and simply saying, please send me the calendar for 2019. Well, I'm anxious for this interview to get started, and Sheila and I are going to have a great discussion about this new book.
Well, this is exciting. The title, Overcomer, is great, but I love the subtitles. 8 Ways to Live a Life of Unstoppable Strength, Unmovable Faith, and Unbelievable Power. Sounds pretty good. What motivated you to write this book in particular?
How many of you know that in the book of Ephesians, there's a passage at the end of the book that's called the armor of the believer? Have you ever heard of that? Where Paul, at the end of this book, gives this great conclusion to the book of Ephesians. And it's supposed to be motivational. I never realized that at first, but when you get to the end of this book, this is kind of like Paul summarizing all the great stuff that's in the book before you get to chapter 6. And so he tells all of them to put on the armor of believer. And he gives them all of these pieces of armor that they're to put on. And it's a metaphor. It's supposed to encourage everybody and motivate everybody. But I discovered most of the people I talked to didn't have any idea what it meant. Wow. They understood the metaphor. They just didn't know the meaning. How many of you know that while that's important information, we don't live in a world where you're apt to see somebody walking around with a breastplate of righteousness or a helmet on his head with a plume sticking up in the air? We just live in that world. But that was the world in which Paul wrote, and he used that to teach people how to be overcomers. And we've gotten so caught up in the metaphor, we don't know the meaning.
One of the things that made me laugh, you write in the prologue that when you hit a hard situation, that's not the moment when you can Google spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
That you have to be prepared. What do you mean by that?
Well, Satan doesn't call you up on the phone and say, I'm visiting your community on Wednesday and your appointment's at 3 o'clock, you know? He just doesn't do that. He comes at the most unexpected time in your life. And sometimes we think, oh, I'll deal with it when it comes. But that's not something you can deal with when it comes. You have to be proactive. We have to prepare ourselves because it's inevitable. All of us will have to deal with his wiles while we're on this earth. Nobody escapes it. And the only people that are victorious over it are the people that prepare for it. I want people to be helped from the Word of God. And that's why we did this the way we did it.
And for that, we thank you.
You're welcome.
That's huge. Yeah. So, in the first chapter of the book, you call David the greatest overcomer in the Old Testament.
Well, David overcame early. He failed later and overcame later. You know, he's like us. He wasn't perfect. But the first story about David is the most important one, his bout with Goliath. Mm. When you see that story in its context, you realize it's not just a story of a little boy against a giant. It's a profound story about the great contest of the world, about good versus evil, about God versus Satan. Just like Goliath, who came every morning and every night and shouted his challenge against the Israelites, Satan shows up every morning and every night, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And as long as you run away from him and you keep putting your problems off and you keep postponing them, Satan's got you right where he wants you to be. So I've tried to learn, when you have a challenge in your life, don't run away from it. Run toward it. Get it dealt with, because believe it or not, it won't go away by itself. How many can say, I will follow that? You know, I've never had many problems get resolved by themselves. It just don't happen. So I'm becoming aggressive in running toward the problems.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, chapter 2 is about overcoming weakness with strength. And I imagine most people watching and most of our audience here would wonder if you've ever struggled with weakness.
Oh. Yeah, I tell the story in this book about growing up, and my mom used to say to me, David, Paul, Jeremiah, where do you get all that energy? And it wasn't a compliment. It was a frustration. I've always had just an incredible motor and lots of energy. And in this book, I talk about all the stuff I was involved in high school, what I was doing in college, and how Don and I went off to school at Dallas, and I was playing in an industrial basketball league while I was a seminary student. I mean, that's not a good thing to do. But I just always had lots of energy. I didn't need a lot of sleep. And then one day, I went for a physical checkup and found out that I had lymphoma cancer. And all of a sudden, I was put on a protocol of chemotherapy, and I found out what weakness is like. Because chemotherapy, as many of you know, if you've had people that are in your family, maybe you've been through it, it doesn't make you so sick anymore as it used to, because they have all this anti-nausea medicine. It just makes you profoundly tired. And I'd be get up in the morning during that time. By 9 o'clock, I was ready to go back to bed. I just had nothing left in the tank. I found out what weakness was like, and it was not fun.
You know, it's interesting. In Scripture, we read places where we're supposed to be weak, you know, because, mm-hmm. And we read places where we're supposed to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Are we supposed to be both?
Well, you know, the Bible says that when we are weak, then we are strong. Have you read that passage?
Yeah.
And that's not double talk.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really find the strength of the Lord until we run out of the strength we put in ourselves. You know, the Bible says this over and over again, be not wise in your own eyes. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that until we come to the place where we're willing to depend on God and not ourselves, we can never really know the full strength of the Lord. And when you're going through something, as many of you know, whether it's cancer or some issue with your family or whatever, it's when you're at the lowest place that you feel the presence of the Lord like you've never felt it before. I have had people tell me that over and over again. Dr. Jeremiah, it was an awful experience, and I hope I never have to do it again, but I want to tell you something. When I was there, I felt the presence of God like I had never felt it before.
Yeah, that is so true. Could you give us some practical tips on ways to strengthen your soul with God's strength?
You receive it through the Word. You receive it through worship. You receive it through waiting. They that wait upon the Lord, what does it say, class? Shall renew
their
strength. Faith is the muscle that ties together the promise of God and the fulfillment of God. And that muscle is strengthened when you wait.
And honestly, that's why I think this book is so important. It teaches the truth of God's word, but then it tells you and I how to access that. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to chapter 3, overcoming falsehood with truth. As you have mentioned, this is a very timely topic. Mm-hmm. We live in a culture where truth is so watered down, unrecognizable. But according to God's word, what is truth?
If you can get past Genesis 1:1, you can get truth. Because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, he is the ultimate truth. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ, who is his son, what is he called? The way, the truth, and the life. Truth in the Bible is not a concept. Truth in the Bible is a person. Jesus Christ is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is in keeping with Christ and his truth is what is true. And of course, it gets played out today in all the cultural things that are going on. And after a while, you wonder, does anybody ever tell the truth about anything? But that doesn't mean that we as believers have to fall into that trap. Hold on to Jesus Christ as your only hope, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth will set you free.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. A lot of people make light of little white lies, or it's not that big a deal. Why is falsehood so dangerous for us?
Well, you tell a lie and it never goes away.
Yeah.
You know, you say, well, you can reflect on it and get it right. Yeah, but you can't fix the damage that's been done during the time that the lie was told, and you can never repair your reputation.
Yeah.
You can be forgiven, and I think a lot of people misunderstand that. Well, God will forgive me. Yeah, but, you know, God forgives, but He doesn't take the scars away.
Yeah. Chapter 4, you talk about overcoming evil with good. I mean, what a challenge in the culture that mm-hmm. we are living in. How do we even begin? Where do you even start to overcome evil with good?
Well, there's two places where evil resides, within us and outside of us. You begin to get rid of the evil within you when you come to the cross and you accept Jesus Christ's forgiveness. And the Bible says when you do that, He takes away your sin and He gives you His righteousness. That's the easy one.
Yes. But the evil that we face in our culture, day after day.
Well, I remember there's a passage, and if you all want to look it up when you get home, it's at the end of chapter 12 of the book of Romans, where I think God gave us this little paragraph to help us understand how to deal with this. And there's some really revealing truths in there that I had never thought of before till I wrote this book. One of them is something we say, but do we really understand it? The first one is to let God deal with repaying the evil in our life. God says in this passage, you remember this? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. When we try to take vengeance on those who hurt us, we are usurping God's role, and I don't think He likes that. God wants us to let Him deal with this. You could trust God. Whatever's happened, you know, have you ever heard people say, well, I want to get even, which means I want to figure out a way to be as evil to Him as He was to me. I'm not going to let Him be more evil than I am. Isn't that a dumb thing? You know? I mean, we're not in a contest here to see who can be the most evil. But that's what we say. I'm going to get even. What do you mean? I'm going to be as bad as He was to me. And, you know, the way you get rid of evil on the outside of you is you overcome it with good. You overcome evil with good. Good absorbs evil and makes it go away. The Bible says, if someone hurts you, do good to him. Pray for him. You can't be mad at somebody very long if you're praying for him. You overcome evil with good.
Okay, let's move on to overcoming anxiety with peace. Doesn't it seem like anxiety is like epic proportions in our culture? Mm-hmm. So describe for us the peace of the overcomer.
Well, when you talk about peace as a believer, you're talking about two things. First of all, the peace that you have with God and the peace that you have of God. Peace with God is what happens when you get right with God and you become a Christian. It's not that you're angry toward God, but He's kind of angry towards you because of your rebellion against His love. But when you make peace with God, we say that, don't we? I'm going to make my peace with God. You shouldn't do that when you die. You need to do that when you're living. Make peace with God, which means there is no condemnation. We have peace with God. So if you want to have the peace with God, you confess your sin, you get right with God, and you have affinity together.
Yeah.
But the peace of God is a different thing. How many people do you know that have peace with God that don't have the peace of God? They're Christians, but they're just totally filled with anxiety. They can't live a day without worry. All of us face some of those issues. And the Bible says that the peace of God passes all understanding. It means it's so incredible you can't explain it to somebody who doesn't know what it is. And the peace of God comes when we come to the Lord and we remind ourselves that anxiety is not God's purpose for our life.
Yeah.
In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, prayer, and nothing, anxiety.
That's awesome. Now we move on to chapter 6, overcoming fear with faith. Now, if you mention faith to most people, it's a very spiritual word, but you unpack it differently in this chapter. You make it a very everyday word. Talk to us about that.
Well, that comes from the passage that says we're to take the shield of faith so that we can withstand the darts that Satan throws after us. We have to live our lives in faith and not fear. You can't be a person of fear if you're a person of faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we allow the Word of God into our lives, it builds our faith. It strengthens us so that when things come, we aren't blown off course. We have the Word of God available to us in every way possible. And what we need to do is get that Word of God into us, because the Word of God in our lives is like the hard drive. And if we don't have anything in our hard drive, God doesn't have anything to work with. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God that we've put into our lives and applies it to the issues we face. But if we don't have anything in our hard drive, it just clicks and goes away. And so just let it flood your heart.
I love that.
I get the signed Bibles everywhere I go, and some of them are really trashed. I mean, they are really messed up. But I always feel good about that person when they leave, because I know they've been in the Scripture.
Yeah. Chapter 7 is overcoming confusion with wisdom. Wisdom is not a word you hear a lot these days. Mm-hmm. How do you define wisdom?
The best definition I ever heard of wisdom is this. Wisdom is doing the right thing without a precedent. Wisdom is God helping you know what to do when you've never heard of anybody being in the place where you are in your circumstance. Wisdom is knowledge using its head. Wisdom is the information God gives you, and then it's His making it possible for you to take that knowledge and apply it to the situations you face. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all of us liberally and upbraids us not, which means God never scolds us for asking him for his wisdom. He invites us to come, and he wants us to have the wisdom he alone can provide.
It was interesting you say in this chapter that wisdom is actually more about an attitude than an activity.
Mm-hmm.
What did you mean by that?
I said earlier that the Bible tells us not to be wise in our own eyes. Mm. Arrogance is the idea that I have all the answers. If I have all the answers, why am I going to ask God for his wisdom? I mean, if I'm full of myself, how am I ever going to get God into my life? And you know what? God breaks people down. The Bible says God draws near to the humble, but he resists the proud. Man, I don't want God resisting me.
Yeah.
I want him to draw near to me. Mm-hmm. I want to be the person who knows what I don't know. And you know, that's one of the things that happens as you grow in the Lord. The longer you grow in the Lord, the more you know that you don't know and how much you need him. Right.
So true. I love chapter 8. You talk in chapter 8 about overcoming temptation with Scripture. The whole chapter seems built around that one event in the life of mm-hmm. Christ that was so significant. How did Jesus overcome temptation?
Well, Jesus, as you know, was taken out into the wilderness right after his baptism, right after the high moment in his life. The Bible says Satan met him in the wilderness and tempted him. Satan had three temptations against the Lord Jesus, the same ones that he used against Adam and Eve in the garden: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I don't have time to unpack the temptations, but you remember what happened. Every time Satan tempted him, Jesus said, "It is written." Three times he pulled a sword out of his armory and whacked Satan with it.
Yes.
And then the Bible says at the end, and Satan left him, and the angels came to minister to Jesus. What I learned from that is we deal with temptation with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, isn't the whole Bible. It's the sayings of God that come out of the Bible that are pertinent to whatever temptation you happen to be dealing with. And here's the thing I love about that. You know where Jesus got all of his swords? From the book of Deuteronomy.
Wow.
When was the last time you had devotions in Deuteronomy? But Jesus found the great swords that he needed in that Old Testament book, and he used them to be victorious over Satan.
I think it's something that many of us struggle with. You're talking about overcoming everything with prayer. And you're very honest, this chapter, as you are, but you talk about how this is a hard subject to write about or to talk about. Why is that?
Well, somebody once told me, if you want to empty your church, announce you're going to have a 2-week series. The first week's on witnessing and the second week's on prayer. Nobody will come, because everybody feels guilty about both those things.
Right.
We all feel guilty that we don't do that better. I've never really met anybody who's told me, you know, I really got to quit praying so much. You know, I'm praying too much. We all know that we should pray more and pray better. All of us are in the same boat. But just because we don't do it as well as we should doesn't mean we should stop trying to do it better than we do.
Yeah.
And learn how to do it better and ask God to make us more effective.
Chapter 10 is overcoming death with life. And you talk about David being the greatest overcomer in the Old Testament. But then you move us to the glorious truth of the greatest overcomer in the New Testament.
The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died. And then on the third day, he overcame the grave and became the great overcomer for all of us.
Wow. Because of that great victory of Christ rising from the dead, what can life look like for us because of Christ, the great overcomer?
Well, I'll tell you what, the way it should look like for us is the way it looked like for the early apostles who saw the resurrected Christ. And the Bible says they went out and turned their world upside down. It wasn't scientific evidence of anything other than the fact that they knew the one who came out of the grave was the one they had known before he died, and it changed their lives. If we really understand the resurrection, it should change our lives. We have a message and a hope the world does not have, and they desperately need now because they're looking everywhere. There are no answers, but we know the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ, who overcame the grave.
If you've got to leave one thing with us from this, because this book is packed with very practical wisdom. I've read so many books on spiritual warfare. I've never read a book that is so practical and daily and doable. But if you just leave us with one thing concerning the book, what would that be?
I think the main thing that comes away from this is just this reality that God wants us to be successful in the realm of our walk with Him. God is not pleased with us not achieving in our own spiritual lives. I mean, he died on the cross through his son, Jesus Christ, to provide a life for us, and it's a life more abundant. It's a life of victory, not one of failure and defeat. And if we're defeated, we need to ask God, show me where the root of this is, and help me to get past this and live the life that you died on the cross so that I would have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to you, you can be an overcomer. I can be an overcomer. We don't have to be losers. We can be winners. We don't have to be victims. We can be victors. And if we believe that, it'll make a difference.
Amen. You know, that's a good word to end the month on, isn't it? And I hope it resonates with you as it does with me. Now, don't forget, when we get together on Monday, we'll be off and running the last day of the pre-sale and then into the book itself. If you haven't already ordered your calendar for 2019, this is your last opportunity to do it. This will not be available after today. So when you send a gift today, ask for your copy of the wonderfully made 2019 calendar. This 14-month calendar will get you started right by even allowing you to fill in your dates in November and December of 2018, and then for all of the months in 2019. Have a lot of events coming up here in the near future. When we get together after the weekend, I'll review them all for you. But let me remind you, as we face the end of this month and the end of this week, Turning Point is on television in your community. And if you don't know where it is, you can find it either in the information you can get from your television provider or from Turning Point. We have a station finder, which will make it possible for you to locate the facility that feeds your community and your home. We're pretty sure that just about everybody in America now can watch Turning Point on television, and we hope you'll do so over the weekend. And then don't forget to go to church. Whatever you do, don't use what we do here on radio and television as a substitute for being in the house of God on the weekend. You need the fellowship with others. They need the gifts God has given you. Your pastor needs the encouragement, and the world needs the collective effort of God's people to make a difference in this environment in which we find ourselves. So have a great weekend, and be sure to join us back here on this good station when we meet on Monday for the next time.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's series, Overcomer, please visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where you'll find two free ways to stay connected, a copy of our monthly Turning Points magazine, and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Or call us at 800-947-1993. Ask for your own copy of our 2019 calendar, Wonderfully Made, featuring beautiful images of God's creation. Yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the New International Version and in standard or large print in the New King James, with thousands of notes, sidebars, and articles from over 40 years of study by Dr. Jeremiah. Get the details at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Thanks for listening today. Join us Monday as we begin the new series, Overcomer, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.